their induction into the National Teachers Hall of Fame. And for everybody who's here this weekend, for all that's going on, we say welcome to Emporia. And don't forget, this evening, I think beginning around 5 o'clock, main or commercials going to be closed down because they're going to be having a big old street party for the disc golf players. And everybody's invited to come on out and participate in all that goes on. And with that, we say good morning to Eric McCabe. How are you doing this morning, Eric?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Now, as I was just talking about what's going on, when you held that very first glass blown open, did you ever envision that would it be involved to what it is today?
You know, I always knew Emporia was a special place and a place that we could host these big events and bring a lot of people to our community. You know, we're like the perfect size for this. And, of course, the thought was always there, but, you know, seeing it happen, seeing it become a reality is a whole nother thing. So a little bit of yes and no to that.
Well, let's start with your play yesterday. As you told me yesterday, it's been a while since you've played at the elite level as far as tournaments are concerned. Yesterday, you go out and finish it under par for the round, which you were happy with. But overall, how'd it feel to be back in one of the marquee events in disc golf?
Yeah, it felt great to get out there and compete again. You know, it had been since, I think, 2018 was the last time that I had competed in one of these bigger elite series events out there on the road. So getting out there and just playing and playing my game and finishing under par, you know, that was kind of a goal of mine, just to be in the mix and, you know, finish under par at the end of the week. And so far, one goal is checked off. So we got two more rounds to go and just kind of hoping this weather holds out for us. It looks like tomorrow could be a little wet in the morning. So, but the winds are down, which is pretty typical this time of year. You know, a lot of people that are used to seeing Emporia Disc Golf on coverage feel like it's just always windy here. The wind's always blowing. But, you know, years past, the Dynamic Disc Open, the Glass Blown Open have all been held in April and May. And, you know, historically, those are typically our windiest months of the year. So, having it here in June has been fantastic. The weather's been great, sunny, warm, and calm winds help for scoring out there.
Yeah, this time of year, if the winds are gusting, you don't want to be out there on the golf course.
That's a fact. You need to take some cover.
Eric, how's the course?
Course is looking fantastic. Green as I've ever seen it, I think. Playing very, very well. We had some new changes to the course this year, four total new changes, and they've been received very well by the players in town. You know, every year at the end of this event, we look at scores and see what changes we need to make to the course. And, you know, the Emporia Community Club has been very gracious on letting us make these changes, and it's been great. Course is looking beautiful.
What are some of the changes you've made for this year?
So we've actually around the pond we cleared out some of that underbrush I personally think it kind of makes it a little more pretty to look at. It looks a little more beautiful out there, and for spectating sake, there's a lot more room to be out there to spectate. We changed most of our changes came in there on the back nine for our course. We combined a hole and changed it from a par three into a par four. And then had a couple areas that I think in the past have just been used for kind of like throwing brush and burn piles, and it works great for us on a disc golf course because it's kind of like a nice tunnel shot where you got to hit a gap and hit lines, and that's kind of what we want out here. And it's not just all open air; it's a couple spots where we can throw shots and see what these players can do.
Yeah, I was visiting with Jeremy Rusko yesterday out on the course, and we were talking about some of the places where spectators can go. And, you know, granted, Emporia doesn't have any mountains or any tall cedar trees to throw through, but there are some pretty picturesque holes that are out there at the Emporia Community Club.
There certainly is. And, you know, from a lot of the players, we have a couple of our holes are – are very popular, obviously. We have the iconic Island Hole, which may be the only like actual island hole on the tour. And then, you know, I've heard from a couple notable pros that, you know, our par 5 hole 8 may be the best par 5 on tour, hole 9 being a shot out the gap and, you know, a big dog leg to the right. It's potentially one of the best par 4s on tour. So we have a couple of the most, you know, infamous holes on our course right here in Emporia, Kansas, which is pretty spectacular.
So this course stacks up pretty well with other courses across the country?
It does. It's a little challenging to, you know, as you alluded to with the terrain isn't quite like it is in the Pacific Northwest, or, you know, when you get out to the East Coast, you have 1,000 more trees to contend with. A lot of players like to see pros hitting those gaps and, you know, hitting lines as opposed to all the open air that we have here. But, you know, we work with what we got around here, and with what we've got, we've done a pretty bang-up job, I'd say.
Eric, what does it mean that this year's event is more centralized with play just being held at the community club?
So it kind of helps out for the player standpoint, I think. It'd be nice to utilize two courses, but this year we decided since we moved to June, we had to condense it to 3 rounds as opposed to 4 to give players enough time to travel, because last week a lot of them were out in Montana playing an event out there, so that's a 20-plus hour drive that they got to get here. So we pushed it to a 3-day event, one course for them to practice, which a lot of them appreciate. I personally like the variety that Jones Supreme brought. You know, they complemented each other very, very well. But it didn't change the number of players we were going to have in town, so ultimately the decision to just have it at one course was a good one.
Yeah, I kind of – press conference that they held on Thursday, talking to several of the pros talking about it, and one of them made the comment, you know, since it's only a 3-day tournament, it's nice that it's only on one course. If it were a 4-day tournament, they probably would have liked to have had it on two courses, so you get a little bit of a different look a couple times.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit of variety out there is always a good thing.
One thing looking at this tournament, the thing that kind of stands out, we have, of course, some of the best golfers right now in the world playing in this tournament, leading the way on the men's side. Calvin Heimberg is leading the way. He's the top-ranked golfer. And then also on the women's side, Kristen Tatar is one of the lead golfers. But the thing that kind of catches me and has caught my attention a little bit are the number of younger golfers who would be basically junior golfers could still compete for a junior world title are a part of this court, part of this competition.
Oh, absolutely. We've got a kid. He's 15 years old. His name's Carter Ahrens, and he's on our team. We sponsor him, and I've known the family for 5 or 6 years now, and, you know, he's been a part of our Dynamic Discs family since, man, 2015, something like that, 2016, somewhere in there, and I've watched him play some junior championships coming up through the ranks, and really wanted to take it serious this year and get out there and play. He's got a podium finish on tour this year. He holds a course record at one of the Elite Series events just a couple weeks ago over in Portland. And it's pretty amazing to see these younger generation come in and just throw the disc, you know, a mile and be able to hit putts. And the versatility of their game is just it's pretty amazing, and it makes me happy that if I don't want to compete against them, I don't have to, because I can step up and play in the old guys division now. So that's not a bad thing for me. But yeah, it's fantastic to see the younger generation taking it serious. And, you know, I think he just finished school on Wednesday when he was in his press conference. I think he had mentioned he just finished school Wednesday, and that was his sophomore year of high school. So he's got a couple more years till he's out of high school, but he's got a bright future in the sport for sure.
One other thing that some of the golfers are talking about is making a trip over to Europe. I know I was told that Paul McBeth, who's normally had a lot of success here in Emporia with the DDO and Glass Blown Open, is over in Europe playing right now. And it seems like a lot of the American golfers are starting to branch out a little bit and play a little bit over in Europe.
Absolutely. You know, when I was traveling and touring full time, we went to Europe once a year for, you know, a couple weeks to play a couple of events, and Paul decided this year to make it I think a couple months he's going to be over there playing events, and he's got his new Paul McBeth Foundation where he helps put in disc golf courses. I know he was working on one over in Spain, which is a part of the reason he had went over there a little early. And, you know, he's at a point in his career where he can just kind of pick and choose what events he wants to play. And, you know, who can blame the guy for wanting to go to Europe for a couple of months in the summer months and just play disc golf and have a good time. And, yeah, so what the tour looks like now is we got Emporia this weekend. We've got an Elite Series event in Des Moines next weekend, followed by Minnesota. And then a lot of them are going to be heading over to Europe to play in the major championship, the European Open, which has been a pretty successful event. It's kind of like an Emporia, Kansas over there in Finland. It's in Nokia, Finland, where, you know, their community just shuts down for it, and they have thousands of spectators that come out and watch, and it's televised. And, you know, I always said back in 2011, 12, when I was traveling over there to play, it felt like the sport had made it when you go to Europe, because of how everybody just comes out of nowhere to support you, and you get treated like a true professional over there. So it's pretty fantastic to see, and we're going to see more and more of that as the sport grows. There's an actual European tour now, so those European players still want to come over to the States and compete, but if they want to stay home, they certainly can.
Eric, do you miss playing on the tour full time?
I absolutely do not. you know, I think yesterday was an eye-opener for me as far as, you know, competing. And you know, I do miss the travel and the competitive side of things. But being gone week to week, day to day, it could be a challenge. It kind of wears on you, you know, being away from home and all that. So, you know, I did my 10 to 15 years out on the road, so I'm pretty happy with where I'm at.
The only thing you probably would like to have changed is maybe get the paydays that some of these guys are getting now.
That's a fact. I did tell people that I peaked a decade early, but that's perfectly fine. I've done some amazing things in the sport, and you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at today without traveling and grinding it out like I did, you know, a few years back.
So what future changes do you have for the Emporia Community Golf Course? I heard some rumors that you're looking at maybe changing the even 18 up a little bit more than what you did this year.
Yeah, we're looking at potentially putting that basket across the water one more time, and then so that'd be two water carries on the hole, make it a par 5 to finish, bring in some more grandstands for players spectating to come in and watch, just to make that final hole a little bit more grueling, a little bit more stressful on the player, and just in case there's a tie coming down the stretch, which from the looks of it, the way the course is playing this year, we possibly could see that with Calvin with his one-stroke lead, and then I think there's five or six players at 10 right behind him. So that's one big change. And then we had talked about changing up the island a little bit as well, possibly just dressing it up, putting some work into it, just so we can make sure that island stays pristine for many years to come.
So, Eric, what are some keys for your play the rest of this weekend?
Keep it in bounds and make putts. That's really about it. I think that's just kind of you know, slow and steady wins the race sometimes. So I'm just trying to play my game and commit to every single shot that I have and see where I stand at the end of the week.
Well, before we let you go, one thing I wanted to talk with you about, Emporia State Disc Golf. First off, congratulations to you and the men's team finishing second in the nation. I know the finish the last day didn't quite go the way the guys had hoped it would, but for the first year for a disc golf team at Emporia State and a second-place finish at Nationals, now that everybody's had a chance to maybe look back at it, what a big accomplishment.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Yeah, we had a heck of a season. That was actually our only loss on the year, which was pretty spectacular, honestly, when you look at it for a first year in there at Emporia State. So. And the best part about it is our D1 team, we have, you know, the same crew coming back, plus we have a couple recruits coming in that are potentially going to be number one male and female in the collegiate side of disc golf. So that's going to be more eyeballs on Emporia State, more people wanting to come and enroll at Emporia State and be a part of this amazing program.
Eric, as far as recruiting for disc golf, I mean, is it a nationwide recruiting base that you're working off of?
It sure is. We got a kid from South Dakota. I've got a couple guys that traveled through from Utah that are looking at Emporia State. It's nationwide, and I've got a list of emails. I got a bunch of emails that I'm responding to as far as players wanting to come to Emporia. And you know, the biggest problem is your team is limited to 10. So, you know, having to turn kids away is never a good thing or never a fun thing to have to do. But maybe in the future we're able to talk to the Collegiate Disc Golf National and see if we can't add some more players to each roster and really blow this thing up. But competitive has been great. You know, there's other schools that are seeing what Emporia State's doing. And, you know, I got to give a shout-out, obviously, to David Spradford, the AD over there. He actually came out to the Nationals for our final round and walked it out there, and he was the only athletic director from any university that was there, and there was over 50 universities represented. So having him out there really showed that he cared and really showed the you know, there's going to be a future right here at Emporia State. So really excited about that. We're hoping to host a big regional collegiate event next year. Actually, this year in the fall, for a bunch of colleges to come to town and have a you know a third big event here right here in Emporia, Kansas.
Eric, I'm curious how much does it help your college program to have Dynamic Disc here in town to have events like we're having this weekend?
Oh, it's huge! It's huge. I've actually got two of my players are playing in it this weekend just to you know get some competitive reps in, and obviously our players get to come out and spectate, and just seeing the players play courses that you will play or you can play. You know, the Emporia Community Club is one of our main courses that we like to spend a lot of time at practicing, and that's kind of like our home course. So getting to see these top players in the world throw these certain lines, it's just kind of an eye-opener, and it's rejuvenating kind of to let our players go out and just watch that. So it's very exciting, and, you know, can't say enough thank yous to Dynamic, you know, the city of Emporia and Emporia State University as well.
And I believe one of those players was playing with you yesterday, Eric. It was Cade Kohlmeier.
Cade Kohlmeier, that's right. Yeah, he'll be a senior this upcoming year, and he's really taken kind of that captain role on the team and is just a great individual. I've traveled out, taken him to a couple other events here and there in this off season for us, for the collegiate side of things. But yeah, Cade's a great guy. You know, his whole family's been in the community for a while now. And, I'm just can't say enough positive things about the Kohlmeiers.
Well, Eric, thanks for taking time out and visiting with us this morning. Good luck today and tomorrow as you wrap up play in the Dynamic Disc Open. And good luck this upcoming disc golf season with Emporia State.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much, and hopefully we can see some of the community out there tonight at the block party there on Commercial Street. We're going to have a great time down there, so thanks for everything you guys do.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
Take care.
It's Eric McCabe, a man who wears many hats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this weekend, he is a competitor in the Dynamic Disc Open, and, of course, he's also a disc golf course designer, and he's that's part of the reason why we also had him on. He's the one that's designed the course that's out at the Emporia Community Golf Course, also designed the course out at Jones Park, the Supreme Course, and they've got it set up so they can use it as one Supreme Course or East and West later. I know they're making some plans for that, but he's done a lot of disc golf course design, and that's how he's making his money, I guess, nowadays, besides being also the head coach for the Emporia State University disc golf men's and women's teams as well. We need to take a break. We'll do that, and we'll be back with more right after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We are driven by LongmineAuto.com.
At Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia, summer is here, and that means hitting the road for those fun summer activities. And it also means summer savings on the right vehicle for you. Savings like $4,250 off MSRP on select new 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cabs. And we have new Chevy models arriving daily, so we'll have the right one for you. Or take a look at our inventory of pre-owned models in stock. We have pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUV models ready for those summer family adventures. And remember, Longvine Auto's certified service will help keep you keep your travel plans and your vehicle in top condition, too. So, for summer savings, right now, come see us at Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia or visit us online 24-7 at longvineautoplaza.com. Chevy, find new roads. 1,750 consumer cash, 1,250 trade allowance, 1,000 Chevy select bonus, plus TTNL, rebates assigned to dealer.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood for the final 20 minutes of this morning show. And mentioned disc golf going on. Also regular golf going on. Stick golf going on down at the Emporia Golf Course today. 63 golfers playing in the Kansas Amateur Qualifying Tournament. 16 qualifying spots for the Kansas Amateur Tournament up for grabs. There are five area golfers that are playing in this. Caleb Schmidt, Parker Simmons, Brooke Sauter, Chase Coble, and Justin Kuhlman, who's from Cottonwood Falls, all playing in that. Play got underway at 8 o'clock, and I think the last group tees off just a little bit before 10 a.m. And if you want to play golf, give the golf course a call. They'll tell you what time some tee times might be available for you to play later on today down south. Also, speaking of golf, U.S. Open is underway. That's being played in Los Angeles at the Los Angeles Country Club.
Man, what a start to that tournament.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Ricky Fowler and Xander Schauffele both have record rounds, shoot 62s. And after yesterday's play, Ricky Fowler still in the lead. He is at 10 under par. He has a one-stroke lead over Wyndham Clark. And co-first-round leaders Xander Schauffele and Rory McIlroy find themselves two strokes back at 8 under par. So still a couple days of golf to go. Could be an exciting finish on Sunday. The neat thing about it, I wasn't paying attention last night, but I know on Thursday night they didn't get done until almost 9 o'clock our time because it was only around 7 o'clock out in California. So some late-night primetime golf on NBC.
Yeah.
Don't forget over at Tressler today, Emporia 16s, Spartan 16-year-old team. They'll be in action. They play at 10 a.m. They'll take on Lawrence, and then they'll play the Topeka Scrappers at 2 o'clock. Hopefully they can reverse their fortunes from yesterday. And speaking of reversing fortunes, boy, would we love to see the Kansas City Royals go on a 10-game winning streak.
Maybe Sean Thornton can be a good luck charm for them today. I think Sean's going to the game today.
I think Dan's going to the game, too.
Going too? Well, okay, you guys. It's all on you then.
Well, my daughter's going to the game.
Well, okay.
Okay.
I mean, they've lost 10 in a row.
It's KU day.
Okay. They've lost 10 in a row, right? Is that where we're at?
Yes.
Playing to the percentage of about 26% win percentage, which right now would put them about 42 wins on the year. I mean, gosh. Sean Thornton, I give him credit. He's still somewhat positive about this team and thinks they'll be much better come September, and I obviously hope he's correct.
I hope he's correct. Yeah. The big challenge for the Royals right now, one of them is pitching. Last night, Brady Singer, not bad, not a bad outing. You only give up 3 runs to a team that's really stroking the ball and hitting the ball well in the Angels. You have to like your chances, but where they've really hurt themselves here as of late as well is offensively and situational hitting. A couple games ago, they were 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position. Last night, they were, 1-for-5 0-for-5 in runners in scoring position. So they've had runners in scoring position. They just haven't been able to get the big hits when they needed to. In fact, Royals manager Matt Quatrero last night says they need to create more opportunities for themselves. And stranded 7 base runners, 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position. They had not a lot of chances, but they had some, and they need to start capitalizing on those.
Well, certainly the numbers speak for themselves, and they are the worst clutch hitting team in baseball. They just, when they get their opportunities, they just can't cash in. It's obviously been a struggle, and you know they're a young bunch of guys trying to learn their way through this Major League baseball. And they've taken some pretty hard knocks. There are nights though that they look pretty good, even in losing causes they have looked pretty good. But boy, there are some nights where, man, it's hard to watch. And of course, you lose your best player, or arguably your best player, who was hitting the ball better than anybody else, with an injury. I don't know. It's just kind of bleak right now when you're sitting here, 18-51,
and here it is June
17th.
Yeah,
I mean, you're already. You're already out of it, for all intents and purposes. But hey, got to stick with them. I mean, you can't be bandwagon jumping. I mean, now's the time they really need their fan support. So hopefully have a good crowd today, and hopefully play some good baseball and get a W.
And it's still Major League Baseball. You might be going there, and it's at the K, and you might not want to root for the Royals, but yeah, you're still watching Major League Baseball.
Hey, we could be Oakland.
Well, they have about to,
who's about ready to lose their franchise.
Yeah.
So you got to keep it in perspective.
Yeah. The only place that Royals can't decide on and where they want to move to downtown.
Downtown. Right. Yeah, but Oakland, and of course, following the Raiders to Vegas, or at least attempting to anyway.
Well, they broke ground on the new.
Did they break ground?
On a new baseball
stadium. So, see, it could be
there,
worse.
So. And I'll get the Oakland A's fans some credit. They're doing a reverse boycott, and they're just showing up. They're trashing the field at the end of the games. But
right now is a heck of a race between the A's and the Royals to see who will get the first pick in the draft next year.
And right now it's the Royals.
Yeah, right now it's the Royals by just percentage points. So, yeah, it is what it is.
Well, hopefully they can get back on track today, and they'll be on the road next week. They'll go to Detroit and Tampa Bay. So there's some.
Well, and what's so discouraging is you look at the division they're in, and if they were even remotely decent, they'd be in contention. You've got the Twins leading the division, and they're barely above 500.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just disappointing, because now's the time to be, taking some advantage of a weak division. I mean, I think just about any other last place team in the other divisions besides Kansas City and Oakland would be in contention in the Central. I'm sure folks like Boston would love to be in the AL Central.
No kidding.
You know, they'd be right there in the hunt, probably in first place or at least close to it. But oh well.
Hopefully things will get better for the Royals, not only this season, but hopefully in the future. Hopefully the tough times that they're going through now will pay off for them at the end of this year, and if not, maybe next season. Because if they're sitting in the same spot they are right now, this time next year, something's going to have to be done.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, 2015 is way back in the rearview mirror now. And the rebuild has taken long enough. I know you got new ownership now. You got new management, new coaching. I think you just need to be patient now and see what they do. I think they have some pretty good people in place, and now hopefully they can build it from here.
And that's the one thing I'm wondering a little bit. I know with the pitching, it's probably part of the explanation. They changed their pitching philosophy from what it was before, and you're trying to teach guys on the fly. Get them to adjust, so there's going to be an adjustment time there. But you look at this Royals pitching staff, and how many of these guys do you anticipate them being on the roster next year or in 2 years? There's maybe one or two of them. You're hoping maybe Brady Singer continues to develop. And granted, you have a couple of guys who are on the disabled list that you're hoping might be able to help you out. But Brad Keller wasn't doing much before he went on the disabled list. And you just have to hope. And, you know, Chris Bubich, you have to hope that maybe he can get back to what they hoped he would. And
You've got so much draft capital in pitching. I mean, you got to hope some of these guys eventually figure it out. And hopefully with the new coaching, and you mentioned new philosophy, that once they've been around it for a while, that things will begin to improve. But, I mean, guys like Singer, you mentioned Bubich, Lynch. I mean, those are the guys you got to be counting on moving forward. So you hope that they've somehow figured this thing out. I was talking the other day. I mean, Zach Greinke, who's had a fabulous career, no question. But when he's one of your top two pitchers and he's 40 years old, that tells you all you need to know. That's where they're at with their pitching staff. I'm hopeful that with a new regime in place, guys who, based upon their history, appear to know what they're doing. I mean, a lot of Tampa influence.
Yeah.
And we know what kind of a franchise they've been. I mean, they've been very consistent and good over the years, and hopefully that will bleed over into Kansas City at some point.
Now, the Royals need another group of pitchers like Saberhagen, Gubazov, Jackson.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice, no question. Those horses that led the way in 85, yeah, that would be nice.
This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this timeout.
At Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, summer is here, and that means hitting the road for those fun summer activities. And it also means summer savings on the right vehicle for you. Savings like $4,250 off MSRP on select new 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cabs. And we have new Chevy models arriving daily, so we'll have the right one for you. Or take a look at our inventory of pre-owned models in stock. We have pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUV models ready for those summer family adventures. And remember, Longbine Auto Certified Service will help keep your travel plans and your vehicle in top condition, too. So, for summer savings, right now, come see us at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia or visit us online 24/7 at longbineautoplaza.com. Chevy, find new roads. 1,750 consumer cash, 1,250 trade allowance, 1,000 Chevy select bonus, plus TTNL, rebates assigned to dealer.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk driven by LongbineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood as we round down this morning's show. And thought we'd talk a little Chiefs football. They've wrapped up their mandatory mini camp this past week, and more was talked about who wasn't there than who was there. And the one big player that wasn't there that seemed to draw a lot of attention, Chris Jones, and it seemed to be contract related and not injury related. And Chris Jones did a lot for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he deserves to get the paycheck.
Yeah. Yep, he does. He does.
But I wish he would have handled it a little differently on how he pointed out, I want my payday.
Yeah.
I think he could have been in camp, and I know he was dinged up a little bit, and there was speculation early on that he may have been missing the OTAs, the voluntary part of it, rehabbing and getting better, healing up. But then he kind of tweets out, he still has 1 year left on that contract, So
I'll be very surprised if something doesn't get done. I think Brett Veach knows what a valuable player he is. Yeah. He's certainly still in his prime. We're not talking about a guy who's beginning to slide the other direction. He's still, many would call him probably the best defensive lineman in football. Mm-hmm. In many respects, and so I think something will get done. Hopefully fans are a little patient and let them go through the process.
Oh, and as Andy Reid said, I know they're talking, and that's a good thing.
Yep.
So that's the plus, and hopefully it'll get done by here in the next month. when the Chiefs report to training camp, middle part of July, St. Joe, Missouri. And the encouraging thing, words that you hear from Coach Reed, is that he felt like they've got a good foundation built and ready to go into training camp. And the talk from at least the leaders of the team, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, okay, we had our ring ceremony, now 2022 and the Super Bowl season is now behind us. Now we need to focus on making another, trying to get back to that Super Bowl again.
Yeah, because now you're going to do something you haven't done. Let's go back-to-back. So you have that certainly as a goal. You certainly have the guys in place still to certainly go do that. I mean, they're going to be just dynamite again, unless, you know, of course, so long as number 15 standing upright, they'll be just fine. Looking forward to it. Hard to believe we're almost there. I mean, you know, we're not too far away from camp, and before you know it, we'll be back into football season.
July 23rd is the day of training camp in St. Joe.
You know, we're just a little over a month away from getting that thing rolling. So, yeah, kind of crazy how time flies.
You know, got an email from the representative for Mitch Holtus, and he will start his training camp reports towards the end of July and take us through August, towards the end of August. So we'll be getting about 4 weeks worth of updates from training camp from Mitch Holtus as the Chiefs gear up for the 2023 season, which opens up against the Detroit Lions. And
you know, that opener will be, it's going to be a tough way to open the season. The Lions are one of those teams that they're talking about in the NFC that may be an up-and-coming team. It's someone they'll look out for. So, of course, in the NFL, every week's difficult. I mean, you know, you got to bring it every week. But I think that'll be a good way to open the season.
Facing a team and a franchise that is hungry for success. Mm-hmm. And that can be a huge motivator. Yep. And, yeah, you have to believe that, you know, trying to repeat, you know, Chiefs have been to the Super Bowl 3 of the last 4 years. They want to make it 4 of the last 5 years and maybe 3 Super Bowl championships in the last 5 years.
They are certainly the team with the big bullseye on their back. I mean, they're the team that everyone is gunning for, and you know, they're kind of taking over the role that the Patriots had for so many years. They are definitely the hunted. So we'll see how they respond to it.
Well, hopefully they don't become the hunted and the hated.
Yeah. You know what's funny is, you know, I'm sure if you go to other parts of the country, you're going to have a lot of anti-Chiefs sentiment because you get to a point where you start winning that consistently and other fan bases begin to get a little testy about it.
The thing is, they're finding ways to win, but you sit down and you look at the scores and they're not blowing teams out. They're just finding ways to win football games. And they make the games exciting. You know, you look at the last 3 seasons, and the Chiefs have probably been involved in some of the most exciting postseason games there are, as far as both Super Bowls they won came down to fourth quarter plays to win those games, and with the field goal, last second field goal to win that Super Bowl. And against San Francisco, it took some fourth quarter comeback to win that, and then you get into the AFC and divisional rounds. Of course, the first time we saw that was against Houston when they were down 24-0 and come back to win that game. And then the games with Buffalo and the games with Cincinnati where it comes down to either overtime or last-second plays to win those games. The Chiefs have been in a lot of close games. They have just found ways to win games.
Last year's Super Bowl, they're down at the half. I mean, they seem evidently they must like to play from behind. Because they've done that quite a bit in big games, but they seem to figure out ways. And again, when you have Mahomes as your quarterback, you're always going to be in it. But they do make it interesting sometimes.
And we as Chiefs fans, we beat you up and down the field.
Exactly. But how about those Super Bowl rings?
Wow.
My gosh, 629 diamonds in those things. That's just crazy. And then you can you can open up the ring and maybe like use it as a pendant, and it's Arrowhead. And the box it came in was unbelievable.
Oh, wow, that'd be something to get your hands on and say, just crazy. You open it up and there's a video screen, and I'm sure every every player has a highlight of their play. If they had a chance to play in the postseason somewhere, a highlight from the season or from the Super Bowl that they were a part of. The Chiefs, the Hunt family and the Chiefs front office, they have found a way to do things the right way. Well, and kind of treat people special. Hey, that's a special accomplishment. Let's do this the right way. Make it special.
And I'm just always amazed, getting back to the ring just for a second, how they come up with the concepts for these things and who thinks about it. I mean, you know, you got, I guess they put like 38 diamonds across the top representing the 38 points they scored in the Super Bowl. They put 16 diamonds in to represent the 16 players who scored during the regular season. I mean, they think of all these weird things to put into these rings, and I just didn't realize there was that much thought put into these, but obviously there is.
Patrick said he had a little bit of input on how the ring should look and that kind of stuff, but yeah, somebody gets paid to figure that stuff out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like I say,
where can I sign up?
It's just interesting how intricate they get with these things and how much thought's put into them.
But those special rings, and hopefully they can add another one this upcoming season. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Again, hey, don't forget, coming up today here on KVOE, it's Royals baseball. Royals taking on the Angels. First pitch set for 3:10. Our coverage starts at 2:30. And also, don't forget today, going on over at the Emporia Community Club, DDO. Don't forget the block party beginning at 5 o'clock in downtown Emporia. As part of that celebration, and then the DDO wraps up tomorrow. And then if you're looking for a little youth baseball to go check out, Trestler Sports Complex, 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, the Emporia 16s. And all those that are in town for both the DDO and for the National Teachers Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, we say welcome. Hope you have an enjoyable time here in Emporia, and hope to see you back here in Emporia soon as well. For Tim Miller, for Dylan Sherwood, I'm Greg Ray. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We've been driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Since 1939, news, weather, and sports.